So it's with great pleasure that I get to introduce our speaker for the evening. Grew up with Peter Sandin, going to Calvary Christian Academy, and we're pretty good friends now. The age difference was a little back then, as such that I could say a few funny things while I'm standing up here. He gave me enough wedgies growing up that I could say some things, but we won't do that, and we're also not going to fault him for being a 49ers fan, but we are going to put our hands together and welcome him and let him take his liberty tonight.
Praise the Lord. If we could stand for the reading of the word. I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. I want to thank Pastor Roy and Bishop Grant for the opportunity, Carl, for asking me. I say this every time, but it's an honor I don't take lightly. And thank you very much. Those of you that don't know and haven't heard me say this, I do have the best wife in the world. It is really true. We joke as we're prepping for events about pie and stuff, but really, she's the best wife, best mom. And for those of you that knew me before I was married, you can see the difference. It's quite different. And I'm not going to be responsible now because I'm up here if there's a little girl that runs down here and starts spinning around. It's not mine. But let's open the sermon tonight by reading from Hebrews 11, verse 2, and then we'll skip down to verse 39. And they sound a little similar, but Hebrews 11, verse 2 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Short verse, right? "For by it the elders obtained a good report." And Hebrews 11, 39, this is near the end of the chapter now, chapter 11, it says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Tonight I want to talk to you about a topic that is interesting to me, but I want to talk about a good report, and that's not the title of my message. We'll get to that in a minute. But before we do, I want to spend some time just, let's pray. Whenever I'm sitting in the service and we pray before, I'm praying, God, prepare my heart to hear what you have for me. Make it good ground that it lands on. Take whatever's going on in my mind from the work day, from the school day, from the crazy kid day, and just let me set it aside and let me focus on you tonight. Because if I'm here, I might as well connect with you. Right? So let's pray that tonight. Pray that God would have his way. And pray that God would speak through me. Because if it's me, it's not going anywhere. So let's pray that God would have his way tonight. Thank you, Lord God, tonight for your will, God. Thank you, Lord God, tonight for this service, God. This opportunity, Lord, to worship you, God. I pray that you would prepare our hearts, God. I pray that you prepare our hearts to be ready for your word, God. Help us to leave aside, Lord, anything of today, anything of yesterday, God. Lord, any guilt or shame or fear or pride, Lord, that would keep us in the way of receiving your word tonight, God. Lord, we believe you have a word for us tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would touch my lips and my mind, God. Lord, that I would speak your words, God, and that you would be glorified and anointed, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. It's a Wednesday night, so I'm going to get a little bit more comfortable. That's okay. You can be seated. Hebrews 11, many of us know it as the faith chapter, right? Because he starts out and he says, for by it, the elders obtained a good report, talking about faith, and then he finishes it and says the same thing. They received a good report. So it makes me wonder, what did these people do to get on God's good side, right? God must be really proud of these people. He, like, reserved a whole chapter to single these people out again. Because, they got chapters and verses about them, right, as throughout the Bible, whether you're in Genesis talking about Abraham or you're in Exodus talking about Moses. There's plenty of chapters and verses for each one of these people. And it got me thinking, wow, God's really proud of these people. This is something he's proud of. Well, I started thinking, what am I proud of? How many people know what season we're entering into? Football. Josh, come on. It's fall, man. It's fall. No, but seriously, we're coming into football season, fall season, pumpkin season. We go to the apple orchards. And yes, you know, fantasy football season for those of you that partake. The Hyphen group here has a fantasy football league, and winning that is actually quite an honor. You actually get a trophy. a trophy you get to put on your shelf. This year, if you're interested in what the trophy looks like, I would just go to Twitter and hashtag Little Shane and see what that does for you. But seriously, you get a trophy. Now, I've been playing fantasy football for like 15 to 20 years. And my favorite part about playing is winning. Right? Am I right? Never mind, Dan. Okay. But seriously, it's about winning. It's about getting that trophy, something that I'm proud of. And this was I was really good at fantasy football for many years. And then I got, you know, kids. And I started losing. I can't figure out why. And then all of a sudden, my priority shifted a little bit. Right? Now, if you said, Peter, what are you proud of? Yes, I'm still proud that I can, you know, win at fantasy football here and there. But I'm really proud of my daughters. Like the other day, my oldest daughter, Sophie, my wife was telling her, Sophie, you can't wear that skirt. It doesn't match. And she tells my wife, she's like, slow your roll, dude. And my wife's like, did your dad teach you that? And she's like, that's how we roll, dog. This is a three-year-old. Yeah, I know. This is a three-year-old. Okay, maybe I'm not proud of that moment, you know. Maybe I'm not proud of that moment. But you know what's crazy? My daughter can tell me the story of Joseph. She can tell you about the dreams of Pharaoh. She knows the story of David and Jonah and Goliath. She knows all these stories. And watching and hearing her talk about them is so powerful. The word of God at work in a three-year-old is amazing. That's something I'm proud of, that God is talking to my little girl. She memorizes the Lord's Prayer. She can pray the Lord's Prayer. These are the things that if I had a shelf, if you let me have this shelf and I could put the things that I'm proud of, I'd put my daughter up there. I put something up there that says, this is something that I'm proud of. My youngest daughter, she doesn't talk much, but she's always helping. She's always like, I don't know if my wife's getting her to do all the chores in the house or if she's just really that helpful. But she's always doing the laundry and like carrying stuff for my wife. And that's really cool. I think that's really neat that she has that helping spirit. So that's another thing I'd say I want to put on the shelf. I'm really proud of my daughter. And so I take this back to what God said. In Hebrews 11:2 and 11:39, these have a good report. He's essentially saying, look at the people between Hebrews 11:2 and 11:39. And I'm sure there's plenty other. These people I'm proud of. They did something that I'm proud of. So let's talk about a couple of these people. I got a couple of people that are in Hebrews. I want to talk a little about Paul, about Moses. I want to talk about Abraham. And we're going to analyze, what is God's shelf? Who is on God's shelf? Why are they there? Who is God proud of? Who is he standing out saying, this is my servant. This is somebody I'm proud of. So tonight, we're going to focus on three men. We're going to focus on Paul. We're going to focus on Moses. And we're going to focus on Abraham. Give you a little bit about each one. And then we'll kind of wrap it all up. And then we'll tell you what they had in common. How's that sound? You good for that? Okay, so tonight, I want to start. And I want to start talking about Paul. Paul was an interesting man. I like to think Paul and I had something in common because Paul was...
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Cerberus, and I am an angel. Probably not what you'd expect when you think of an angel, but still I, of course, am an angel. A little history may help clarify exactly what it is I am talking about. You see, long before you, your parents, or even this planet existed, I went by the name of Yaffa, which of course translates to beautiful, rightfully so. Back then, God and I were very close. We still keep in touch. Things are just a little different, let's say. Recently, I had a meeting with him, and he gave me permission for my very own show and tell. You see, God seems to think that you humans, or sheep as I like to call you, need to know exactly what it is I am capable of achieving. While I do believe that my exploits deserve much much more recognition. I cannot help but think just a small taste will be counterproductive to what he wants. What does he want, you ask? Well, I know you didn't ask, but by your blank stare, you should have. God wants to save you. You will all die. Death may not be at the forefront of your mind, but it is at the forefront of a war that wages all around us. You see, I may not be able to win this war, but I can cause you to lose. Your unfortunate reality is that the only thing that you can do to keep me from making you lose is you and your choices. Luckily for me, you have a terrible, terrible history of making choices. In fact, we're going to look at some of those choices tonight. You see, I have my own trophy case stacked up miles and miles high of my trophies. And I want to show you some of my favorite. The first one I want to show you tonight, her name was Jennifer. She was quite the physical specimen. She was an all-star athlete in three different sports. She was a starting point guard for her high school basketball. She averaged 23 points, 13 assists. She was an unbeaten tennis player, an all-star track runner. Everything she tried, she more than succeeded. You see, all of this success made her a local celebrity. And if things hadn't turned out the way they did, she probably would have got that scholarship. At one point, I did get a little worried because this is my trophy. And these church teens approached her a couple times. I got a little worried. I'm not going to lie. I might. But I got worried. Because this was my trophy. Thankfully, as always, the Christian teens gave up after just two tries. You see, Jennifer wasn't really a bad kid, but it just took one bad choice to seal the deal. You see, I had went after her several times, and she was able to overcome my advances several times. But I did not give up after just two tries. I'm better than you are. It was the night of her homecoming game. She set the school record that night. And a couple of her friends that I sent her away said, "Jennifer, you won! Let's go have some fun!" I love fun. It was that night and that decision and the overconfidence to get behind the wheel of that car that drove her right into my house! I didn't have to do anything else! In fact, let's meet Jennifer. Bring her out! He can't hear you. He can't hear you anymore. It's too late. It's too late. Doesn't matter. He doesn't hear you anymore. He won't hear you.
But you can see me.
No, you can't.
You can hear me.
They can't hear you. Well, That was nice. Get her back out of here. Get her out of here! Get her out of here now! Never know what to expect from a trophy. Well, I'm sure that this person up here has something to say. So let's try to stay awake.
Paul. When I think of Paul, I always go back to Philippians 3, 4 through 7. That's always a verse that's been dear and dear to my heart. And it says this. It's a little long, so bear with me here. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So let me just give you the, I call it the Peter paraphrase. When Blake preaches, it's the Blake George paraphrase. This is the Peter paraphrase. What he's saying here is, for those of you that think that you're a Christian, I was a Christian. I was born in the bloodline. Let me just put it, let's go even more paraphrase. I was a third generation Pentecostal. I received the Holy Ghost at camp when I was 5 years old, right? I grew up in this. I sang in the choir. I went to the outreach. I preached in hyphen service. But then he says something interesting. In fact, before he says something, he says even more, he says, persecuting the church. He was saying, you thought you had zeal. You thought you were passionate. I was like persecuting people. That's how passionate I was. And then he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Dung. It's like the stuff in the toilet. That I may win Christ. So Paul, let's get this straight, Paul. Paul is saying, I was literally everything a Christian is expected to be by the world standards. I did everything. I was circumcised on the right day. I was of the right tribe. I was the right Hebrew. All this stuff. But he said that was dung. Kind of strange, right? He says, I counted all lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He said, just knowing God was better than all that. Interesting. Paul was a Christian before he became a Christ follower. We could be Christians and we could be here and doing our thing, but not following God. We could be busy in Sunday school. We could be busy in young marriage ministry. We could be busy teaching Bible studies, but not following God. If there is no knowledge, there's no knowing God, coming to God, having a relationship with God, it is done. It is a waste of time. And that's what Paul said. He's actually saying, I spent my time on the wrong things. You look back when you're Paul's age, however old that was, he's, you know, 30, 40 years old, he's like, wow, that's a lot of life I wasted serving the wrong actions, the wrong things. But now for the excellency of the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus, boom, that I'm proud of. Paul's an interesting case to me. The next man I want to talk about is Moses.
Okay, folks, I can't let him carry on. It's just so boring. I see all of you guys on your phones. Don't act like I'm the only one. Besides, I have more important things to talk about than whatever he made up just now. But I was just thinking, oh my goodness, what a lovely young lady. Both of you. Imagine how much better she would look if you had just spent a little bit more time getting ready before church. It almost takes my breath away. It really does. In fact, this is for you. Can you just turn to the left just a little bit for me? That's it. You almost remind me of my most beautiful trophy. Her name was Mandy. You see, Mandy had an emptiness on the inside that you sheep seem to fill. See, Mandy tried to fill the somethingness on her own. She tried to fill it with a burning desire to be wanted. You know, I'll never understand the extent you humans go to try to fill this emptiness on your own. It's simply entertaining for me to watch. Before we finally claimed Mandy, we had crafted her into the ultimate woman. She was sweet. She was kind. She was charming. And of course, Hollywood beauty. Hollywood, my favorite. That's a whole nother topic altogether. You see, it was so easy to get her to waste her money on whatever beauty product I simply put in front of her eyes, even if she didn't need it. I would like you to see the most beautiful trophy I've ever had. Fellas, please bring out the beautiful Mandy. Gorgeous.
It
takes my breath away.
My beauty is up. No, no.
When I found her male opposite, he was just as hung up on beauty as she was. They valued themselves so little, I barely did anything with them. You see, in Mandy's case, I had big plans for her life to be the ultimate tragedy. Unfortunately for me, I did not get to see my plan fully play out. Because both she and the child she conceived when she threw herself away like trash died at birth. Well, I think that's all we have for Mandy. Get her out of here! Sorry, folks. She is, relatively new, and still doesn't understand the way I do things around here. You know, I will never understand the extent you humans will go to try to fulfill some self-worth. You see, I know true beauty, and God knows true beauty. And in spite of the beauty that you were made in, you continue to cut, to paralyze, to poke holes in, to freeze, to paint, to color yourselves, just to look like what you think is beautiful. Not that I'm complaining, of course. Well, I'm sure, based on what he's been talking about, and let me just take a peek here. Oh, that's boring. We'll see how he does.
Moses, Hebrews 11, 24 through 29. Let's read from there. I gotta get my water. Sorry, Carl, I left it over here. You gave it to me. Hebrews 11, 24 through 29. So this is one of these people in between 11, verse 2 and 39 that we're talking about here. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. So Moses, we've all seen the DreamWorks cartoon, right? Is that? That's how I did the research here. No, but Moses, he's born, and the Pharaoh commands everybody to kill all their firstborns. He gets put in the water, gets picked up by the Pharaoh's daughter. So he's raised in Egypt as the Pharaoh's daughter. Now his mom was also there too as his nanny, but he's raised as royalty. The Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, that's like in the line, right? You're kind of in the line for the throne. It's like one of the, who's that? Prince Henry, Williams, I don't know, Richard? I can't remember the young one, the baby. But he's in line, right? Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Moses was in line for the throne, potentially. Maybe he had to get rid of his brother somehow, his nephew, his cousin. But it says, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's strange. Starting to see a correlation here, right? A little bit of a similarities between Paul and Moses. Moses had a lot of things going for him. He was in a very popular and powerful culture. He was in the powerful family. I'm sure he didn't want for food. I'm sure he didn't want for luxuries. It actually says here, it says, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So Egypt was very rich. They had a lot of slaves. So it says he chose rather to suffer affliction. What happens here? What's going on with these guys? They have everything going for them. But the one guy chooses the dung, or gets rid of the dung and knows Christ. And the other guy says, I don't need to be in the line. I don't need all this money. I don't need all this fame. You know, he's probably got people carrying him around on those, you know. I've always wanted to be on one of those. I thought that would be cool. Carrying him around on one of those. But he says, I'm going to get rid of it. I don't need it. It's not important to me. Because he saw him who was invisible. He found God. He found a relationship with God. And when he found it, he realized, I could continue and being carried on the little, or I can just go into the middle of the desert wearing rags and walk around with sheep. How many people vote this side? Come on, that side sounds pretty good, right? To me, it did at first. But he chose the other one because he found a relationship with God. It didn't make sense to him. He said, I'm going this way. This is the way God has for me. Doesn't make sense. This is the way I'm going. And so he chose to go. Because it occurred to him that earthly status and positions meant nothing once he found out who God was. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You say it the other way. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. You know? What are the things you're valuing in your life? Are they the sheep or are they carrying around in the little? Right? We see what Moses was valuing. He made his choice to change his priorities. This wasn't something that just, boom, it happened in his head. He's like, wow, sheep. He just walks away. He made a choice to change his priorities in that moment. Moses. The next man I want to talk about is Abraham. Abraham, as we read in Hebrews 11:8-10,
I don't mean to interrupt. Oh, yes, I do. You're my audience. I'll do whatever I want. See, while he was rambling just on and on about some fictitious story, I was thinking about my easiest kind of trophy. And then I remembered Marty. You see, Marty was the perfect kind of Christian. My favorite of all. Oh yes, I do like Christians a lot. They take up half of my trophy case. And I absolutely have a favorite kind. There are just so many of you out there, like little Marty. You know, the kind that they never really do anything bad. But they never do anything good. They just keep on doing nothing. All of this nothingness causes them to coast right into my arms. You see, they're already in the church building. They're sitting on the pew. So nobody thinks anything is wrong with them. And if something was wrong with them, nobody ever bothers to ask or try to help. I just like it so much. I barely do any maintenance work with them. In fact, Marty is one of my favorites. Fellas, bring out Marty for me. Come on, Marty. Come on. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Marty. I know. I've heard it all this whole time. Go ahead, tell them, Marty. Oh, sure. He sang on the platform. Blah, blah, blah. He raised his hands for every song. He volunteered for every youth event. Blah, blah, blah. But I never had to worry about him doing anything too important, like getting to know him.
And he said he didn't know me.
Didn't know him. Didn't know you.
Didn't know me. I gave my life, my time, my energy. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it.
Didn't know me.
Didn't. It's too bad.
I wasted my time.
He tried hard.
I had no relationship. No, no. Nope. That's all he wants is a relationship.
No, he doesn't.
Loves you.
Shut up! Shut your mouth! You shut up! He doesn't love you! See, Matthew chapter 7 talks about this kind of trophy. I don't care if you help your youth pastor. Oh, yes, I do know God's word. It talks about my future. I'm just glad that none of you read it. Well, I think that's all the time we have for eternity! Get him back to the pit! You may carry on.
11. Verses 8 through 10 and 17 through 19. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 and 17 through 19. And it says, by faith Abraham. Now, pay attention when we talk. Let's think about the actions that he did here that caused him to get mentioned. Okay? Pay attention to the actions that caused him to get mentioned. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. That's an action. And he went. That's an action. Out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned, so he sojourned, in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling, he was dwelling, in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city, so he looked, so we keep a track here, he went out, he obeyed, he went, he sojourned, he looked, okay, he looked for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. He offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I was surprised when I read this chapter. When I read this verse, I thought for sure, you know, it was going to be, yes, he sacrificed his son. That's the proud moment. That's what God's going to put there. That's right. And it's there. But there's like three verses worth of like walking and dwelling and trying and looking. That surprised me. Right? What is it about this Abraham guy that God likes so much? He was walking and looking and sojourning. Sounds kind of like a nomad. Right? I mean, he's walking around a country. It says that a strange country that he didn't even know. But you know what's interesting about Abraham? God told him, go walk. So he just walks. So God's just like, go over there. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go over here. This is your land. Oh, I'm going over here. This is my land. You know what's interesting about, he just did it. He didn't ask. Because guess what he had? Faith in God. He believed that what God was saying was true. And he said, you know what? If God's telling me to walk this way, I'm going to walk this way. And if God tells me to stop, I'm going to stop. Because God is going to control my life. All through Exodus or Genesis, when you're reading the story of Abraham, you hear all these things where he's like talking with God. Now, I'm not the best Bible scholar in the world, but one thing I do know is Abraham's one of the few people that like negotiated with God. No, God, how about, 50, no, 40, 30. Like, God, don't strike me here, but could we do 10? Like, that's impressive. And he's still on the list. He had a relationship with God, and he trusted God. So when God said go, he went. When God said try, he tried. When God said look, he looked. There was no questions asked. But that doesn't just happen. I'll tell you right now, I was in the military, and they'll tell you jump. It doesn't just happen right away, does it, Rich? First time you're looking like, do I really have to jump? And then you start learning. You just jump. You just trust. And that's the way Abraham was. He had a relationship with God to the point where whatever God told him to do, I'm going to do it. You want me to walk here, God? I'm walking over here. I want to be on the second step or the second step. That works for me, God. I can put a tent right here. We can live here. This is beautiful. Oh, you want my nephew to have the good land and I'll take the ugly land? Yeah, I can do that. Seems such like an average guy, right? I'll tell you, God's looking for average guys and girls. God's not looking for somebody that's, hey, I mean, looking back at Moses and Paul. He's not looking for somebody that says, I could do this great and wonderful thing. Give me 3 or 4 microphones. Saying, can you walk? Can you just walk in the direction I tell you to walk? Can you listen to me? Can you trust me? But I'm going to warn you, you can't trust God. You're not going to listen to him for very long if you don't have a relationship. Because it will catch up to you. He had the faith, literally, he had the faith to offer his son as a sacrifice. Wow. That's amazing. See, Abraham, he didn't, in my opinion, he didn't seem to care about how things looked or how things were. He cared about what God thought they were. He cared about what God saw they looked like. He said, that looks like desert, but if that's where you want me, that's where I'm going to go. And he just went there. The simple-mindedness of a relationship, a close relationship with God, is so powerful. Are you following God's will? Without question. You work in a ministry. You're just doing things. Just filling up your time with things. Or are you doing it because of God? Are you doing it for you? Are you doing it for Pastor Roy? Youth, are you doing it because you think Carl's watching? Or are you doing it because you're doing it for God? Are you doing it for him? Are you doing it to please him because you have a relationship and that matters so much? It's like your best friend or your boyfriend or girlfriend or your spouse is like, it matters to me that my wife is happy. It matters to me that my daughter's happy. I would do anything for my daughter. That's a relationship. That's a relationship. Don't wait for it to make sense. Abraham didn't. It doesn't always make sense. Don't wait for it to. Don't wait for it to make sense. As we start to close here, I want to start putting these three guys together and talk about what they had in common. Talk about what it is that they...
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not going to listen to any more of this. This is ridiculous. Besides, I was thinking, you've been a great audience. And I do believe that you deserve to see my favorite trophy. My pride and my happiness. My crown jewel, the pinnacle of all of my work. You see, these days, I don't really get my hands dirty with trophies. My apprentices handle most of the work. But this trophy was much too tough for anyone less than my stature. So challenge accepted and accomplished. While the last trophy was the perfect kind of Christian, this next one truly was the perfect Christian. She was very, very tough. Very smart. But not smarter than me. You think that you can play around with me? You think that you have the smarts to play with me? Well, come on! Let's play! I've been at this for over 16,000 years! What have you been doing for 16 years? Oh, sure. You church teens may not fall for my usual tricks. You may not fall for the dark sins. You may not be going out and getting drunk. You may not be doing drugs. Sure, you're not sleeping around every Friday night. I just have to be a little more subtle with you. Besides, why should I, the great Cerberus, kick down the door when I can simply pick the lock? Oh, sure, it takes a little bit more time. I've got time. But I found it to be much more effective. I just have to sneak in a few white sins here and there. You know, the sins that aren't really sins. You see, for Liz, it wasn't even something that bad. In fact, it was so small and meaningless. It wasn't even technically a sin. You see, I'm not bad all the time. I can have fun. It was just a beat. Simple rhythm. I love music. She was feeling very, very overwhelmed. And I suggested to her some life music. She was in distressed moods all the time. Ministry was going nowhere for her. So I said, let's just listen to some encouraging music. My favorite. Oh, sure, it wasn't Christian. No, not even close. Definitely was not clean. No. But it made her feel better about herself. It was that song that allowed my voice to be more prominent in her mind. She allowed me to get closer and closer to her. I became so much more prominent in her life. You see, Liz, the reason why she's truly my favorite is because she gave me center stage, right where I belong. Oh, sure. I had to follow up and make sure that nobody on some random Sunday ruined my trophy. Well, what am I doing? You should hear it from Liz. Please bring out my crown jewel!
It's gonna be echoing in my head for all of eternity! raised this way. I had a relationship with Jesus. I was on the right track, and I traded it. I traded it with my own choices every day. I know how I got here. It started with a song, a measly song. I just like the beat. But somehow, I didn't realize that the lyrics were desensitizing me to holiness, to my standards, to what I knew to be true. It was so subtle. Every choice, every song, every movie, they seemed so insignificant, just one tiny link in all these chains. But they added up, and eventually, I got so weighed down, I just couldn't finish the race. God's yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I should have been listening for his voice. I should have been clinging to holiness. But instead, I filled my head with so many voices, I drowned out the voice of truth. And now it's too late. I'll never be able to throw off these chains. But
no.
You?
No.
You still
no,
have a chance.
No,
listen to
get
me.
Her.
Listen
get
before
her.
It's too late. He's lying. He's cunning. He's trying to destroy
you
your life.
Get out of here now.
Go to
you. They can't help you. They can't hear you now. It's too late for you. He'll never see you again. I sincerely apologize. That was truly uncalled for. She knows better. This is so embarrassing. In fact, oh, what's that? Yes? Right now? Oh my goodness. A fresh trophy. Oh my goodness. Oh, this is beautiful. Look at this list of sins. So many sins. Most of you could probably relate to these. Especially you. Oh my goodness. Guys, is he ready? Can we see him? Oh my goodness. A fresh trophy!
Where am I?
Oh, you're all mine now.
Driving and
all these sins. So beautiful. Huh? That's right. All of those sins. They're so wonderful.
No, wait. By Acts 2:38, my sins have been forgiven.
No, they haven't.
You can't
no, they haven't.
Hold me to those.
No, they haven't.
And these chains can't hold me.
Oh, no.
By 2 Corinthians 3, I have freedom.
No, you can't say that.
And by John 14, I have a mansion in heaven. Not a spot on your shelf. You are a liar and a thief. Get out of here, Satan.
That was a drama. Yeah, some good actors. Good people screaming, right? Can't be real, right? We're just fake. We're just acting it out. But you know that happens every day. It's probably happening right now. Maybe even right in here. Maybe sometimes we don't take it as seriously as we think we are. Or maybe sometimes we're just really honest about it. We know we're not taking it seriously at all. We're just going through the motions. You don't think it's real. We try to make it real. We try to show it to you and say, look at this. This could be you. But you'll walk out and you'll get back on Twitter and you'll forget about it. You go to that TV show you like at night, you know, that's the one that keeps your mind busy before you go to sleep. Call that friend. Check that sports score. Maybe go to Pinterest and look for that next great recipe that will make you the homemaker you need to be. Right? Because this isn't real. That's not what the Bible says. We're going to heaven. Or maybe not. Let's read a couple of verses. See what the Bible does say. See what the devil really wants to do. Luke 22:31 said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Like as this little insignificant piece of grain, he's just going to sift you, take you away from me, and then he'll be yours. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He didn't say as a kitty cat or as a mouse. He said a roaring, man-eating lion. He was not going to sugarcoat it. He said, the devil is out there and he wants you. He wants you. He wants to take you and put you on this shelf and say, hey, God, look at this one. This one's mine. It's not about you. It's about God. Then he can say, oh, yeah, look at this one. That one's mine too, God. That one's mine. Oh, that one's mine. He's probably sitting there right now saying, ooh, those are mine. Yep, some of those are mine. Revelations 12, verses 10 through 11. And it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength. And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He wants to sift us as wheat. He's looking for us like a roaring lion. And he's accusing us pretty much daily. Sounds like a good guy. And yet all the things he has to offer are all the things we want to fill our lives with. Right? We just don't realize it right away. Let's look back at the men we talked about earlier. Let's think about some things they had in common. The first thing they had in common is they all had choices. Am I right? They had choices. You have a choice. Maybe you say, I'm not Paul. You know, we know Paul. He was walking on the road to Damascus, you know, in his probably in his nice purple robes and his, you know, persecution outfit. And God has an encounter with him. He has an encounter with God. And at that moment, he had a choice. Am I going to go this way? Or am I going to go this way? Paul had a choice. Moses had an encounter with God. Well, he had many of them. All of these men had many of them. I'm just pointing to some specific ones. Moses met God in a burning bush. The burning bush was speaking to him, and he had a choice. This is crazy. I am going back to Egypt because that makes more sense. Or, I'm going to trust God. It may not make sense at the moment. I may have to grow a beard and hold my hands up really high and for a stick for a long time, but I'm going to follow God. Maybe I can't talk very well, but I'm going to follow God. He had a choice. Abraham, through all his stories we read in Genesis, he had choice after choice. He didn't have to, remember we talked about all the simplicity of it? He didn't have to walk, he could have just stopped. He didn't have to give Lot the better land. He could have said, I'll take the better land, you take the other land. He had a choice every day, and he made a choice. One man I didn't talk to you about, we don't know his name, obviously he wasn't on God's shelf, was the rich young ruler. He had a choice too. You know what his choice was? He actually came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? And the rich young, and Jesus tells him, he's like, go and sell all that you have. And guess what he said? I think I'll just go back to church. I'll go back to living my life because I can't give up all that I have. I can't give up all that I have because if I do, what am I going to be doing? Walking through a desert by myself? These men had choices and they chose God. You have a choice tonight. The people in this drama, yes, it was acting. They had a choice, young people. They had a choice to make the things in their life their priority, to make what Hollywood, to make what the news media, the sports media, to make that important in their life, or to make God important. I think if these people were actually real people, they would stand here right now just like they did and tell you, I made the wrong choice. It seemed good for a season, but it was the wrong choice. If I could have the musicians come up. You're probably sitting here thinking, Peter, that's good. But I'm just a young person. I'm just an older person. I'm just an experienced person. I'm just really busy with having two little girls and a third baby on the way. I don't want to make the choice now. When you don't make a choice, you are making a choice. Not making a choice is making a choice to not follow God. See, we have something different that these three men don't have. They had their encounters, right? They had their encounters in their special, their specific places. We don't have to wait for that. None of you have to wait for blindness down the road to Damascus to have an encounter with God. You don't. None of you have to go searching for a burning bush to have an encounter with God. None of you have to have God come to your tent and ask for food to have an encounter with God. If you could stand with me here tonight, we're winding up. The drama adds a couple minutes to it, but God has something for us here tonight. He's saying, you don't have to wait for the bright light on the road, the burning bush, or the three visitors to come to your tent. He's saying, I'm here now. Now is the time for your encounter. What choice will you make? More importantly, what choice will you make every day? Because you know what? You can sit right here and make the choice and get down on your knees and say, God, I'm going to make the choice right now to serve you. But if you wake up tomorrow morning and you don't make that choice, you didn't make a choice. See, that's what these men figured out. They figured out that it wasn't some blinding light, this burning bush. That wasn't the choice. The choice is to wake up every single day and choose God. The choice is to say, I'm going to choose God when I'm at work. I'm going to choose God when I'm at school. I'm going to choose God when I'm with my friends. In the Bible, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So be like Abraham. Yeah, that looks like the desert, but I know there's life more abundantly in this direction because this is the direction God's pointed me to. This might be a valley. It might not look as cool as my friends, but there's life more abundantly here because this is the direction God pointed me to. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Because I'm telling you, you will serve someone. If you're not serving God, you're still serving someone. As you make this choice, I want to give you a little advice. I like to be real. I like to clarify the expectations up front. Okay? So don't say I didn't warn you. If you make this choice, you're probably not always going to be popular for it. And you're probably not going to be in a big group. This is going to be your choice. Your choice. As you choose God. As you choose to walk with God every day. Tonight is not the end. Tonight is not the end. We can choose life. Going back to our verse, Hebrews 11:39. It says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yeah, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder and were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. God has something for you tonight. If you come down in this area right here, you can make a choice. You can make a choice and say, God, this is my encounter. Because I'm telling you, this is God's house. God is here right now. You can encounter God. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So regardless of whatever chains maybe you think you're holding right now, regardless of whatever is going on in your mind, you can find liberty right here. Well, but Pete, it's a hard choice. It's going to require some sacrifice. Maybe I'm walking through a desert alone. There's liberty. Come to the altar. Choose God. But don't walk away tonight with this one-time encounter. Have a mindset. God, help me to choose you tomorrow. I choose you for this minute. I choose you for this minute. I choose you for this minute.
Everything I give.
I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Look for that relationship in God. Trust in God. With all